Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, be a blessing. Don't come alone to church. It's an offense to come alone to church. Amen, somebody. Make sure you come with someone. Amen. This morning, I want to share a message that is in a form of a series. And we are starting up today. We'll pick it up also next week, Sunday. Proverbs 14, verse 1. We'll be talking about recipe. A recipe for a successful marriage. Our focus has been on relationship, or our focus essentially throughout the month of February will be on relationship. Last week we spoke on before I say I do, and I want to believe that you have been blessed. Amen. Amen. Today our focus is going to be on a recipe, or the recipe for a successful marriage. And for a text, we'll read Proverbs 14 verse 1. Every wise woman, what does she do? Builds a house, but the foolish, that is the foolish woman, does what? Plucks it down with her own hands. We're going to read that scripture together at the count of two. One, two, go. Every wise woman builds a house, but the foolish does what? Some of us are not reading it. I say we're going to read it together at the count of two. One, two, go. Every wise woman builds a house, but the foolish plucks it down with what? For the last time, you read it alone. One, two, go. Put your hands on your chest. Say after me, say, Heavenly Father, I receive your word of life this morning into my heart, into my situation. Let your word rule and prevail over every situation and circumstance of my heart. I will never be the same, because God's word is bringing healing, remedy, restoration to every area of my life. I believe and I receive this. If you believe that, say a better amen. Amen. Like I said, I'll be speaking this morning on the subject of a recipe for a successful marriage. I don't think there's anybody who wants to fail in marriage. But the obvious truth is that many marriages are under attack, and several people have not made a good success out of their marriage. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you and I to succeed in marriage. By the way, God designed, God created marriage, and his intention is for you to succeed. And marriage is a blessing, not a burden. Marriage is a cure, not a curse. Marriage is a lifter, not something that should limit you. And when you look at this scripture, it is very clear to us that certain things, you need certain thing, or you need a particular thing if you are going to be successful in marriage. That thing is called wisdom. It says, every wise woman builds a house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. So what makes the difference between a successful home and a home that is not successful is wisdom. You need wisdom. It takes wisdom to build. If you are going to build a successful home, you need the wisdom of God. And if you ignore wisdom and you choose foolishness, it's going to certainly bring about destruction. Nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants the works of his hands to be destroyed. But if you don't want the works of your hands with regards to marriage or the marriage experience to be destroyed, you need to get wisdom. Tap your neighbor and say, you need wisdom. That's why scripture also says in Proverbs 4 verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding. That is to tell you that it's something that is an essential thing. It is not something that you can do without. It is something that you need. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. One translation says, wisdom is the most important thing that you can get. So you need the wisdom of God with regards to how to build a successful home. If you are going to be successful in the experience of marriage, the wisdom of God is key. And it is that wisdom that we want to look at today by checking out the recipe for a successful marriage. By the way, what is a recipe? A recipe is simply a set of instructions for preparing a particular dish. A set of instructions for preparing what? A particular dish. And usually, this set of instruction includes a list of the ingredients that you need. If you want to prepare a dikaikon, for instance, or you want to prepare a goosey soup, for instance, you know quite all right that there are ingredients that is required. And you have to apply those ingredients in certain proportion if you're going to arrive at a dikaikon or arrive at a goosey soup. All women in the house say amen. So, in the same way, listen to this, marriage, if you want your marriage to be successful, there's a recipe. Somebody said there's a recipe. There are sets of instructions. Instructions from where? Instructions from the book of wisdom, which is the word of God. You see, if you look at the genealogy or the history of marriage from the first marriage, God is the one who created marriage in the Garden of Eden. Now, Eden means pleasure or delight. So marriage was not intended by God to be a body. It was supposed to be a blessing. Amen. I said amen. Now, you will notice that once man rebelled against God, you see that the institution of marriage came under attack. Things started going haywire. Now, that tells me something that any departure from the word of God, there's no how you can be successful in the venture or the experience of marriage, because marriage was never any man's idea. Listen, no culture, no tradition, no government created marriage. Amen? It was God who did what? Created and designed marriage. And if we depart away from his instructions, if you depart away from his wisdom, you can never be successful, because you can never know more than the Creator. Amen? The Creator always knows more than the creature. So if you want to be successful in your marriage, you must pay attention to the set of instructions that we find in the Word of God. You know, I've had people have said this, that the Word of God is not relevant for today. Says who? The Word of God is relevant for all times. That's the foundation upon which my life, your life is built. And if you are going to be successful in your marriage, you cannot ignore the word of God. If you heard what I said, say amen, somebody. Now, I'm going to go a step ahead. When we say successful marriage, what do we mean? I mean at least three things. Because of the brevity of time, I won't be able to explain them, but I believe God will give you interpretation in Jesus' name. The first definition of a successful marriage is a marriage that is fulfilling its purpose for creation. Listen, the true definition of success is for something to fulfill the purpose for which it was made. Listen, there is a reason, or there are reasons why God designed or made marriage. And hear me well. Listen, there are several reasons. Time will not allow me, but if I'm going to summarize the reason, marriage was designed to be a blessing to humanity, not a burden. God said, Genesis 2 verse 18, I will make a helper fit for the man. So a woman is supposed to be a helper. Amen, somebody? Proverbs 18, 22 says, he who finds a wife has found what? A good thing. And has obtained what? Favor. So say after me, say, marriage was designed by God to be a blessing to humanity, not a burden. So the way you define success in your marriage is whether your marriage is fulfilling the purpose for which it was made or not. That's what I mean by successful marriage. Number two definition of successful marriage is a marriage that is a blessing to the couple themselves and to those who are around them. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father that is in heaven. Philippians 2:15 says, we are supposed to shine in the midst of crooked and perverse generations as light. Let me say this to you. We define a successful marriage is defined by the fact that the couple or the partners have been blessed themselves and their marriage is a source of emulation or testimony to the world. Amen, somebody? That is what it means to have a successful marriage. And I pray this morning that that will be your experience in Jesus' name. Number three definition of successful marriage is a satisfying and fulfilling marriage. Listen to this. God wants you to be satisfied and fulfilled in your marriage. That's what we call marital fulfillment, marital joy, marital delight. It will not elude your home in Jesus' name. That's why Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, rejoice, O man, with the wife of your youth. So God wants you to find fulfillment and find pleasure in marriage. And if that's your experience, that can be defined or referred to as a successful marriage. If any of these three things I have given you does not fall into your experience marriage, that means your marriage is missing something. And whatever may be amiss or is missing, Jehovah will fix in the name of Jesus. It will make your marriage whole again. I said it will make your marriage whole again. The joy of marital bliss will not elude you in Jesus' name. I said the joy of marital bliss will not elude you in the name of Jesus. Now, you need to understand that a marriage is not successful all by itself. Success is not accidental. Success is not by luck. Success is not by chance. Success is not, listen, success does not come by wishing and desiring. In fact, I may shock some of you, success does not even come by praying alone. Listen, you have a part to play. I have discovered this, and you will agree with me, that there's a lot of people today who are very successful in other areas of their life except for marriage. Somebody can be very successful in business and may be a failure in marriage. Recently, I was reading something. I was not sure. I'm not sure whether it's Amazon, but I don't think it's Amazon. I think it's Google. The guy who's behind Google has challenges in his marriage right now. Amen, somebody. And you see, very successful in the area of business, but the home is under a great challenge. So the fact that you are successful in other areas does not translate to success in your marriage. Solomon was a very successful king. He was an entrepreneur. He was a businessman. He was all kinds of things. But you know, he was a failure in marriage. Amen, somebody. So look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, if you are going to succeed in marriage, you have to follow the principles of God. And those are the things that we're going to be talking about, because God has given to us a set of instructions that if we follow, we'll be successful in the marital experience in Jesus' mighty name. Now, what I intend to do today by the special grace of God is to look at part A of this message. What is part A of this message? I think it will be right, or it will be correct for us to look at why is it that people have struggles or challenges in their marriage. Why is it that marriages are failing? Why is it that some people don't make a success out of marriage? That's the first part of this message that we're going to be considering. Listen, because if you really want to know get the full picture, you have to know what is preventing people from having a successful home before we now talk about the things that makes for successful home. So today, by the special grace of God, we're going to be looking at some reasons. I have quite a lot of reasons here. Amen. I said amen. I have about 25 of them. Amen, somebody. Reasons why people struggle. Or people are barely managing. People I've had people counsel people who are just patching things up. Amen, somebody. And I've had people who are tired of the marital experience. Listen, I believe God for you this morning that God will touch you in the place where you need it in Jesus' name. Your marriage will never be the same in Jesus' name. Because it's going to go to a new level in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say better, amen. There is no cause without a cause. There's no C-U-R-S-E without a C-A-U-S-E. So why do people struggle? Why do people fail in their marital experience? Reasons why people don't succeed in marriage. If you are ready, say amen, somebody. Reason number one, because they are not ready to learn. Listen to this. I said last week that marriage is a school that you don't graduate out of. It's a school that what? You don't graduate out of if you really want to succeed in your marriage. And what do you do in a school? You learn. There are courses. There are subjects that you want, you take, and you must pass or you must succeed if you are going to go to the next class. You see, one of the things I've discovered is that some people are not willing. Notice the word. They are not ready to learn. Listen, as long as you are not ready to learn, it's going to constitute a major stumbling block to the progress of your marriage. Because nobody knows it all. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 2 says, he that thinketh he knoweth anything, he does not know like he ought to know. So if you think you know, you are truly a fool. Amen, somebody? Because you don't know anything yet. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 verse 12, the scorner does not love the person that what? Rebukes or reproves him, neither will he go to the wise. Why? He's full of himself, or she's full of herself. Jesus was talking in Matthew 18 verse 2 and 3 that you have to be like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? I said amen. So there's something about little children. Little children are very simple. Little children are very humble. So if you are not humble, you cannot learn. Hello, somebody? And some people are not willing to submit themselves for learning. I read a book some years ago and somebody said something. He said the illiterate of the 21st century is not the person who cannot read or write. He said the illiterate of this century or age is somebody who is not willing to learn, to unlearn and relearn. Listen, that is something you must be doing consciously, constantly in your marriage. You must be learning. Say learning, somebody. You must be willing to unlearn because there's some things you have learned wrongly. Amen. I said amen. There are things we have learned wrongly. There are many things they've told us that is not true. Amen, somebody. So you have to unlearn them. And there are things you have to relearn because knowledge is on the increase. You cannot use yesterday's strength for today's assignment. So if you want to succeed in your marriage, you need to learn. Say, are you ready to learn? Someone say, learn from what? You must be ready to learn from your mistakes. ready to learn from your errors, your failures, your success. You must be ready to learn from others. You must be ready to learn from things that works and things that don't work. I mean, that does not work, rather. You must be ready to learn from books. Hello, somebody? I said, hello? Those who are not willing to learn don't go far. And let me tell you some of the traits. Some of the traits of somebody who is not willing to learn is that they are not willing to take corrections. Have you met people like that? I mean, they don't want to hear what you have to say. And listen to this. In marriage, like I said, you don't know it all. You must be willing to learn. Learn from your spouse. Hello, somebody? Learn from one another. Learn from those who have gone ahead of us. And it takes humility to learn. So tap your neighbor and say, humble yourself. Sometime ago, somebody came to see me for counseling. And the process of counseling, I was trying to counsel the person. And the person was also trying to counsel me. Amen, somebody. So I just said, well, why did you come? Amen, somebody. You don't need to come. Because it seems you know what to do. Amen, somebody. When you say you go for counseling, it's because you are willing to what? Learn. Ask your neighbor, say, are you ready to learn? This is something that you must constantly be doing in your marriage if you want your marriage to be successful. Listen to this. We never graduate out of the school of marriage if you really want to be successful in your home. And I pray for every married man and married woman here. God will grant you the spirit of humility in Jesus' name. I said, listen, your home is not supposed to be like the barrack. Because you see, at times some homes are like the barrack. You see that the man is like the all in all. Amen, somebody. You remember some homes that when you hear the horn of daddy, everybody disappears. Amen, somebody. I mean, that terrifying feeling. Amen, somebody. That presence that seems to haunt everybody down the house. Look at your neighbor and tap your head and say, your home is supposed to be a place of bliss. Say, Jesus is bringing bliss into your home. If you believe that, say better amen. Amen. So we have to be ready to learn. We've got to be ready to learn. I wanted to explain because of time. Number two, why do people fail in marriage? People fail in marriage because they are not ready to change. The only constant thing is change. And listen to me. I've discovered that people often resist the change that will even benefit them. What's the meaning of change? Change is transformation. The word change means to completely alter the state and the form of something. And let me say this to you. Believe me sincerely. Listen to this. Only a changed person can change things. It takes a changed person to do what? To change things. Instead of trying to change your partner, why did you allow God to work on you? Because most of the time, we're trying to change our spouse. Amen, somebody. I remember a couple where I had the opportunity of serving in the church in Abuja years ago. The man was on my board. He's on the quiet side, but the woman, the wife is one of the leaders. She's on the aggressive side. Amen, somebody. And, you know, at times, when I give opportunities to some of the ministers to preach, I remember one day when he was preaching, and as he was preaching, I could see the wife doing like this to him, and signaling to him, like, come on, more fire, more whatever. The man was just taking it, jelenkele, amen, somebody, and going at piecemeal, one step after the other, and he could see him signaling and doing like this. And after the exhortation, he went to me, he said, you didn't put some fire, you didn't put some venom, amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. When she comes to lead the prayer, the whole church is upside down. Amen, somebody. Because of the kind of person she is. Amen. And she felt that, how come my husband just come up and just, everything's very cool. I said, there are different ways God uses people. Amen. The fact that everything is cool and quiet does not mean that, you know, God will not touch them. Amen, somebody. It's not every time you need go, 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 go. Amen, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. It's not everything you need. Everything does have to be very aggressive. Otherwise, there will be a problem. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, stop trying to change your spouse. It's important for you to submit yourself for change. Surrender yourself. I discovered that you must be willing to change your ways in marriage. You must be willing to change your opinion, your methods. Amen, somebody? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we all with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are changed even into the same image as by the Spirit of God. Anybody that resists change, listen to this, in his home or our home, is simply saying no to progress. You must be open to change. Tap your neighbor and say, stop resisting change. That's the reason why many people fail in their marriage. They resist change. They are not ready to change. And you see, to be very sincere, until you come to the point whereby you know that you really need to change and you are willing. Say willing, somebody. Because at times, it doesn't matter how much you say something to someone. If the person is not willing to change, the person will not change. So you need to be open to change. Amen, someone? And change has to be deliberate. Change has to be intentional. At times, change could be difficult, could be painful, because it means you are opening up yourself. But you see, what you are going to become as a result of the change experience cannot be compared to whatever pain you are going through. The Bible says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you changed. Tell your neighbor, say, only a changed person can change things. If you are not ready to change, your home, your marriage will not change. The way change comes into a home or a marriage is that the partners must be willing to change. If you hear what I say, say, I hear, sir. Look at the number and say, may God help us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very important principle. This is a very important point that we have to pay attention to. We must be ready to change. If you understood what I said, say amen. Amen. Number three, third reason why people fail in their marriage, this one is very, very important, is because they are not adequately prepared for marriage. I have discovered that at times people are much more prepared for the wedding than the marriage. The wedding is for a day, the marriage, it should be for a lifetime. Listen, you need to get yourself ready. Say ready. I was studying something about the Hebrew culture. See, that's why I love the Hebrew culture. The Hebrew culture, when it comes to marriage, that's what we call the betrothal and the wedding. Usually, there's a gap. And at times, it could take up to a year before the betrothed is married. Hello, somebody. Although the betrothal process is assumed that the person is legally married, but why do they allow for the gap? Is so that the woman can be what? Adequately ready, and the man can be prepared for the challenge of marriage. I mean, what was telling somebody? He met somebody last week. And the next thing, you want to marry him in 2 weeks' time. Amen, somebody. I mean, you are not ready. Somebody will say, you need to be ready. If you're in the house, say amen, somebody in the house. That's what the Bible says. Every wise woman, what? Builds a house. And when I'm talking about preparation, I'm talking about spiritual preparation. I'm talking about emotional preparation. We are talking about physical preparation, financial preparation, you know, professional preparation, relational preparation. The bottom line is that you need to be adequately prepared. Somebody was asking me this and I was telling him, I said that's the reason why you need premarital counseling. It's part of the thing that should get you ready for marriage. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Listen, poor preparation, we always promote what? Poor performance. While proper preparation will prevent poor performance. So if you are poorly performing, it's as a result of your preparation. Listen to this. We need to take the time to get ready for marriage. Marriage is not for boys and girls. Amen, somebody. Marriage is for matured people. Amen. Amen. Notice I didn't say men or women. I said matured people. And it's important for you to know. Because you see, that's why at times somebody can be 40 but can be behaving like a 12-year-old. I have been in many counseling sessions. I have seen people in their 30s who had the wisdom of people in their 60s. And there are people who in their 40s who were talking like a child. Hello? Am I hitting you below the belt? If you are getting something, say hey, amen, somebody. Let's take the time to be ready. Some people are not just ready for marriage. I had this story. A woman gave birth to a baby. For you to know what I'm talking about, that she was not ready. To breastfeed the baby was a burden. I was wondering, is it not supposed to be the joy of every mother, the joy of motherhood? Breastfeeding now became a burden. I know they made it easy now. There's a way you can draw out the milk. Amen, somebody? Hello, somebody? Even with drawing out the milk, she was even to even take the milk that is inside the bottle, with the bottle and give the baby. She was dodging it. Amen, somebody? Hello, somebody? Look at your neighbor and say, you must be ready. Say, are you ready for marriage? Young people in the house, I say, are you ready for marriage? It's not just the goose bumps rather. Amen, somebody. And the feelings. Amen, somebody. You need something to sustain yourself after the feelings have disappeared. Amen, somebody. That's why you need agape. Amen, somebody. That's why love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. Love is a person. Amen. Are you in the house this morning? Glory be to God. Let's look at two more. Reason number four. Why do people fail in marriage? Because they are not properly equipped for marriage. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, Proverbs 24 verse 10, your strength is small. Say equipping somebody. Listen, why do people go to school? So that they can be equipped for life. Amen? Listen, you wouldn't sit down and allow a quack doctor to treat you. No. You wouldn't allow an incompetent barista or lawyer to handle your case. They say, well, this is a young lawyer with promise. He has not actually finished law. Law school, really? Go to law school, but whole idea. You wouldn't give your case to that kind of person. You wouldn't sit down before someone who dropped out of medical school to treat you. That's why a lot of money is spent to train people. I personally believe that people need to be equipped for marriage. I strongly believe it. That, listen, it's not something people, you don't just rush into marriage. Stamina, your stamina will determine how far you will go. And you see, equipping in your equipment is when things are put in you. There are things that must be put in you. Say put in you, somebody. If you're going to last the whole journey. When I say you need to be properly equipped for marriage, there are some very important questions to ask yourself. Questions like what? What kind of investment are you making in your life or into yourself? Investment. You see people who want to get married, they've not read any book on marriage. Amen, somebody. You've not attended any seminar on marriage. Amen, somebody. Amen. Listen to this. You need to be equipped. Say equipping somebody. What kind of investments are you making into yourself? Number two, who are your mentors and your role models in marriage? Listen, don't follow Nollywood. Don't follow Hollywood. Most of those people don't have any testimony with regards to their marriage. That's the truth. Somebody asked me, he said, who is your role model? Who is your celebrity? I said, Jesus Christ is my celebrity. He almost like dropped his jaw. I said, that's my hero. Amen, somebody. That's my model. Amen, somebody. That's the person I'm trying to pattern my life after. And listen to this. You should have mentors. Who are you following? Whose example are you following? This is part of the equipping that you need to have. Amen. Number three, what kind of counseling are you listening to? Pay attention to what you hear. That's what the Bible says in Mark 4:24. Don't just listen. There are all kinds of, the way the media are painted, you know, the issue of infidelity now is, as to say, there's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot that is wrong with it. Are you going to allow the opinion of men to determine, your destiny, or you allow the word of God to have the final say? If you are still here this morning, say amen, somebody. There's some kind of shows that you don't have any business watching. Why? Because they are not informing you right. They are informing you wrongly. It's all about gossip. Amen, somebody. It's all about tail behind. Amen, somebody. It's all about what? Betrayal. Amen. I mean, you don't want that kind of thing in your life. So why are you listening to it? Look at your neighbor and tap and say, be mindful where you listen to. It's important to be properly equipped. Say properly equipped. Let me give you one more so that we can close on it. Number five. Fifth reason why people fail in marriage is because they are not willing to play their roles or their part. Successful marriages does not just happen. It takes a lot of work and effort. Listen, you must be ready to play your part. Hear me. The man cannot play the part of the woman. Neither can the woman play the part of the man. A man is not a woman. Neither is a woman a man. A woman is unique. And a man is what? Unique. I throw a salute to all the single parents, single mom, single dad. But let me say this to the reality of the matter is that a man cannot take the place of a woman, neither can a woman take the place of a man. That's why their presence, both of their presence is needed in the home. And you see, the way the home will function normally is that both parties must play their roles effectively. You see, when they don't play their roles effectively, that's when there will be challenges. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Listen to me. And I have to say it very well. A man cannot play the role of a woman, though. Amen, somebody. Neither can the woman play the role of a man. The times when my wife have not been at home, I know that the role of a woman is blessed. Amen, somebody. I cannot play the role. Amen, somebody. No matter how much I try. Amen, somebody. I know it's not given to me. Amen, somebody. Men don't go to the labor wards. You can be there physically, but you never know what it takes to carry a child and deliver the baby. Yes or no? So there are some things that God has what? That has distributed according to everybody's what? Calling. So if you refuse to play a role, there will be problems. Let me ask some questions as I close on this point. Are you ready to contribute your quota? Or you're just shying away from your responsibility? You can't be shying away from your responsibility and expect that the marriage will work. Number two, are you ready to do everything within your power to make the marriage work? People just think that marriage is just work. All by itself. No, you must be ready to do everything with your power. Play your part. Number three, are you ready to take responsibility? Stop playing the blame game. Take charge. Take responsibility. Then finally, are you ready to make it work? If it's going to work, you have to be willing to work it. Amen, somebody? You must be willing to work on your marriage. You must be willing to work at your marriage. You must be willing to work for your marriage. Listen, when you put everything that you have at your disposal and you rely on God's grace, you will succeed in the name of Jesus. Listen, you will succeed in your marriage in the name of Jesus. Your marriage will blossom in your hands in the name of Jesus. Your marriage will not be part of the statistics or part of the figures of marriages that fail in Jesus' name. Let's rise up on our feet because of our time. Lift up your hands this morning. Say, Heavenly Father, Help me to make a success out of my marital experience. Lift up your voice and pray in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray this morning.